The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, I hope you never lose the wonder of God's love. It is amazing that he would care enough to leave the brightness and splendor of heaven with the blackness and squalor of this earth to be reduced to poverty. The birds have nests, the foxes have dens, the son of man has nowhere to lay his head. He was born in a barred stable, preached from a borrowed boat. Everything was borrowed. Go through and look. Buried in a borrowed tomb. You know, he had nothing to call his own. A man of sorrows, despised and rejected of men. Isn't that amazing? That kind of love is amazing. It really, really is. Someone who had it made, who was the darling of heaven, to come to earth, be reduced to poverty, despised and rejected, give his life on a splintered cross outside the north wall of Jerusalem. If you ever lose the wonder, you've lost it. You've just lost it. You need it renewed. Need to have it renewed. Just think about what a wonder, an amazing wonder it is. I want to ask you to open your Bible today to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 24, the last chapter of Joshua. We sang about this a little bit ago, and I want to make this the theme of the message today. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. I'll read those in just a second. I don't know if you, it's good for me to be back with you today. Thanks so much for the invitation. I don't know if you know how it came about that I came out here the first time. Eugene Thompson was talking to Lane Moore and said, you know, we're going to need somebody to preach for us, and we know just the man. He is a good man, has a fine reputation in the community, is a Bible scholar. He really knows the word well. He is a powerful preacher, will keep us awake. But he's busy. Would you check with Dr. Taylor and see if he can come? All right. I just thought I'd be honest with you about how this all came about. And but I am grateful to have this opportunity and share with you the message I believe God has put on my heart for us today. Joshua chapter 24, reading verses 14 and 15. Joshua has the children of Israel gathered at Shechem. And this is his final speech. This is his farewell. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. And if you will notice in your translation, that should be in all capital letters. And when the word Lord appears in all capitals, it is the proper name of God. There are four letters in it, but all are consonants. We don't know how to say it. Y-H, W-H, or J-H, V-H. The Y and J are interchangeable, and the W and the V are interchangeable. We don't know for sure how they said that, but it's the personal name of God. Nowadays, we tend to call it Yahweh. Some translations put it Jehovah. But every time it's in all, the word Lord is in all capital letters, it is the personal name of the maker of heaven and earth. So, therefore, fear Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods your fathers served beyond the river. That's beyond the Euphrates River, and in Egypt, put those away and serve Yahweh. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve Yahweh, then choose this day whom you will serve. Will the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that, of course, is my text. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God, would you come among us today and share the special message that you intended long ago when Joshua said these words at your urging and when someone under your direction and inspiration wrote them down for us today. Would you bring us this message? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The man reined in his horses and stood for a moment in his chariots, gazing at an ancient bridge over a small, muddy river. It was on a Saturday near Rimini, the village of Rimini in northern Italy. The river was just a muddy creek. Rimini was just an obscure village. But the history of the whole Western world hung in the balances that January day. The year was 49 B.C. The river was the Rubicon. The man was Julius Caesar. With the 13th Legion, he had just conquered all Gaul, what we knew today as France, and was on his way back to Rome. Well, the leaders of Rome and the Senate were both jealous of him for his military success and also fearful of him because of his military success. And they had reminded him, had sent orders to him to remind him that Roman armies were not to pass the Rubicon. That was a northern border, and there was a Roman law that said a commander could not come in with a standing army past the Rubicon. If he did, it would be an act of treason. He and all his soldiers could be hunted down for treason and executed. Caesar, now on the banks of the Rubicon with his 13th Legion behind him, paused only a moment, and then he made a decision. He cried, "The die is cast. It's all set. I mean, we can't go back on this." He laid the whip to the backs of his team. He crossed the Rubicon, led the men on to Rome, seized control of the government, and the rest is history. Since that day, to cross the Rubicon, folks, is to make a big decision. It's like a huge decision, a decision from which there is no backing down. There's no retreat. It's a decision that affects all of your life. Crossing the Rubicon. There is no return. There is no going back. Now, centuries before Caesar, Joshua crossed the Rubicon that we read about only moments ago. He came up to a huge decision. You guys are wavering back and forth. Sometimes you serve this God, sometimes you serve that God. Sometimes Yahweh is in the mix, but I tell you, you've wavered back and forth long enough. It is time to zero in on Yahweh. It is time to choose the Lord. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was a huge decision. It was a passionate decision to decide once and for all whom he would serve. Decide right now, right here, he said, whom you will serve. And he announced his own decision. Now, Joshua's was a Rubicon that every husband and father ought to cross. That every man ought to cross. Because like Joshua, every man needs to make this decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is Father's Day. Would you forgive me if I just aim directly at fathers here? Because the things that are true of Joshua's decision need to be true of every man's decision, every man in this house, okay? Number one, Joshua's decision was a personal decision. Did you hear that? As for me, I'll serve the Lord. Joshua knew he couldn't speak for the whole nation. He couldn't speak for the whole tribe. He couldn't speak for his whole clan. He didn't ask people to raise their hands and try to determine which way they were going to go and then side up with them. He simply said, I want you all to know. I can't determine what you do. I can't determine how you live it out. But I'll tell you this, as for me and my house, unapologetically, we will serve Yahweh. We will serve the true and living God. If you turn back to the gods your father served on the other side of the Euphrates, then that's your business. If you choose to serve the gods your neighbors worship here, that's your business. But I want you to know it won't affect my decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, if you're going to make a decision like that, and I would urge every man here to make that decision, if you're going to make a decision like Joshua's, you got to first of all know about God. You got to know something about God. Did you hear about the little girl who went to her mother and said, Mom, what is God like? And her mother said, I don't know, sweetie. You'll have to ask your father. She went to her daddy and said, Daddy, what is God like? And he too said, I don't know. Later they saw her writing in her diary. And this is what she wrote. Today I asked my mother what God is like. She did not know. I asked my father, who knows more than any other man in the whole world, what is God like? He did not know. I think if I had lived as long as they have lived, I would know something about God. You know, to make a decision like Joshua's, a personal decision, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord, you have to know something about God. Not only that, you have to trust God. And what that means is to transfer your trust from everything else to the Maker of heaven and earth, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You transfer your trust to that God. It would amaze you to know the things people trust. You know, I had a lady in my class one day who came in to represent a cult, frankly, a heresy. She talked about her heresy. And one of my students asked, "What would you do if when you die, you meet the risen Christ? And you understand that everything you've said is wrong?" She said, "Well, if I meet your God, I'm sure that he will treat me fairly." You know what she was saying? "I'm as good as you are. And God will have to respect that. If I meet him, I deserve to go to heaven as much as you deserve to go to heaven." What she failed to understand was, none of us deserve to go to heaven.
Amen.
We were going to heaven, I am, and my student was, because we transferred our trust from us and our goodness and our deeds and the things we do right and the way we treat our neighbors and the way we keep the Ten Commandments and so on, transferred our trust from all of that to the risen Christ who gave his life for us to forgive our sin. If you're going to make a decision like Joshua's, a personal decision to serve the Lord, you've got to first of all know about God. Secondly, you have to transfer your trust from other gods and other things to the Lord God Almighty, and then you must serve him. Isn't it amusing and amazing too? How many guys want to put themselves on reserve duty when it comes to serving God? I don't want an active duty assignment. I just assume being part of the reserves here. Many men relate to God as an in-law. That is, their wives have the relationship, and they have a relationship to God because they're married to their wife. There are men in this community, maybe in this church today, for whom that's true. Are you here today because your wife said, "We're going to church tomorrow"? I know men who are in church today because their wives have a relationship with God, and the men are trying to live off of that relationship. They don't sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." They sing, "Take my wife and let her be consecrated, Lord, to thee." They have what I call an in-law relationship with God. Folks, you can't make the decision Joshua made. Men, you can't make the decision he made. "As for me, I will serve the Lord," until you're ready to serve the Lord. Many have committed to believe about him. Some have committed to trust him. But there are all too few who have committed to serve him. The women, God bless them, have kept our churches open. The women, God bless them, have kept the prayer life of the church supported. The women, God bless them, have kept the finances of the church supported, sometimes even against their husband's approval. It's time for the men of God to stand up and step up and say, "As for me, I will serve the Lord." That won't win you any points out there. The folks down at the local bar and grill are not going to stand up and applaud you for that decision. You probably will never be elected, most likely to succeed, or citizen of the year because of that decision. But I'm here today to tell you it is the most important decision you'll ever make. "As for me, I will serve the Lord." I need to know about him. I need to transfer my trust to him. And then I'm going to get on active duty for the Lord. Let me challenge you today. Guys, how about you? Have you made that initial decision? It was a personal decision Joshua made, and a personal decision you must make. That's what I'm challenging you to do today. But there's more here. It was a paternal decision. Paternal is just a 50-cent word for fatherly. All right, a pater in Latin was father, so paternal. It was a paternal decision because Joshua said, "Not only am I going to serve the Lord, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Insofar as I am able, I will see to it that my family serves God too." Now, I know there's only so much a man can do, one person can do. A man cannot determine for sure what everybody in his household is going to do. But he can set himself to do his best to see that they serve the Lord as he does. I've met parents, have you met any who say, oh, it's just wrong to force religion on a child? It's just wrong. I'm going to let my child grow up and make those decisions themselves. I'll let him decide whether to go to church. Because if I make him, it'll turn him against God when he gets older. And to those parents, as a pastor, I used to say, you make your child bathe?
Amen.
You make your child brush their teeth? You're not interested whether the child's going to turn against baths and teeth brushing when they grow older, right? No. You make them do it for their benefit. It's for their good that you make those decisions and enforce them on them. If they decide later not to brush their teeth and let them all rot out, that's their bad business. If they decide later that they don't have to take baths, they'll pay the price in loss of friendship. You know that to have friends, a man must not only show himself friendly, but take a bath at least once a week. At least. My point is, parents who see to it that their kids brush their teeth, and see to it that they don't have too many sugary snacks, and see to it that they take a bath, and take their kids to the doctor, never once worrying about whether that'll turn their kids against doctors in later years. Those people need to get busy teaching their kids not only how to walk and talk and eat and swim and drive and work, but teach them to serve God. How do you do that? You model it in front of them. You model it in front of them. One of my dad's last words to me, my dad died 30 years ago. One of my dad's last words to me was, I have tried to show you how to live as a Christian. And now I must show you how to die as one. He just modeled it. Nearest thing to Jesus I've ever known. A father, a mother, should not fear to teach their kids how to serve the Lord. So, some years ago, I heard a pastor from Atlanta tell about his 14-year-old son, who's an enterprising young man. He took a paper route, and he worked a deal with a friend of his who had a convertible. And so the convertible would drive the paper route. The 14-year-old would sit in the back with the papers and throw them out at the appropriate place. You know? And they both made a little bit of money. Well, it so happened, however, that there was a problem, because on the young man's route was a retired Army colonel who wanted his paper put on his screened-in porch. He didn't want it just thrown in the yard, wanted it on his screened-in porch. And that presented two problems. Because the colonel had two Dalmatians who hated newsboys, paper carriers. And so it became a war of wits to see if the young man could sneak up to the porch and put the paper behind the screen door and get back in the convertible and pull away before the Dalmatians were roused to come after him. Well, he even come home relating his experience with those Dalmatians. He had a 6-year-old brother who heard the conversation. He had no idea what a Dalmatian was, except maybe it was some sort of fierce and deadly beast, you know. And one day the 6-year-old came in after school with one of his friends, and they were both out of breath, panting. Mama said, "What's wrong, son?" He said, "We came down the block past the colonel's house, and them damnations nearly got us." Can I tell you the damnations are after your children? The damnations are after you, but they're really after your children. And your children's children. And they will get them unless fathers somewhere have the courage to step up and stand up for Jesus and simply declare, I'll serve the Lord, and as best I can see to it, I'm going to teach you to serve the Lord as well. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I have always wanted to do my best I started to say I've done my best. I don't know if I've really done my best. The Lord will tell me that. I have tried to do my best. To lead my children to know the Lord Jesus, to trust the Lord Jesus, and to serve the Lord Jesus. When they lived at home, I would often wake at night and go into their rooms and pray over them. But they don't live at home anymore. They have homes of their own, and some have grandchildren. I have one great grand. I still wake at night and pray for my children. That little Rubicon I crossed years and years ago. As for my house, best I can see to it, we all will serve the Lord. We all will serve the Lord. Now, I'm passing this point with a reminder. Not every man here is grown. I see some young men here who are not quite grown. Not every man here is grown. Not every grown man is married. Not every married man is a father. But I would ask you as a young man, I would ask you as an unmarried man, I would ask you as a married man who is not a father, to make this commitment, this decision for the future. As for me, I will serve the Lord, but also I will do my dead level best to see that my whole family serves the Lord. Will you make that decision? What about you? Will you join Joshua? Will you join me? Will you join other men in this congregation who made that decision years ago and have lived by it? So, in Joshua's comment here, I see, first of all, a personal decision. As for me, I will serve the Lord. I see a paternal decision. As a father of the family, I will do my dead level best to see that every member of this family serves the Lord as well. And then the third thing I want you to know about this decision is that it was public. Now, it's better to make a decision privately than not to make a decision at all. But it's best to make a decision publicly, openly, clearly, before friend and foe, before the whole nation of Israel. Joshua came right out for the Lord, did he not? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say that in his closet. He didn't get in his tent and say it. He didn't go off the wilderness and say it to the Lord. He just stood up in front of friend and foe and said it clearly and decisively. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was a public decision. Now, why is that important? Well, it reminds me of this, on Sherman's March to the Sea. Civil War buffs in here, you know about Sherman's March to the Sea. He marched to Atlanta, burned it to the ground, and destroyed crops along the way, broke the back of the Confederate States of America. On Sherman's March to the Sea, when he was entering the city of Atlanta, a little grandmother met him and his troops waving her broom in her hands. Sherman was leading his troops. He stopped his horse and he said, "Woman, what do you hope to accomplish against Yankee cannon with a broom?" She said, "Probably nothing, but it was just important for me to let you know which side I'm on." Now, folks, you may not feel like you can accomplish changing the world by making a public decision, but it's important to let folks know whose side you on. It really is. It's important for you to come out publicly and say, "I've been a slouch in serving the Lord, but today I want that to change." You know why? Because if you make a decision privately, you're not accountable to anybody except God, and you may not be accountable to Him for 50 years. You may live another 50 years and not have to face Him and explain why you didn't do this some other way. But you know, if you step up and step out publicly and make a decision publicly, people will hold you accountable for it. God's people will say, "Hey, remember when you said, remember when you did, remember when you committed to." Did you see what I'm saying? It's important to make a public decision because then people will hold you accountable. Making a decision publicly seals it. You can back out of a private commitment easily because nobody knows you did it. But if you decide publicly, others know and expect you to do what you say you're going to do. And making a decision publicly encourages others to make the same decision. Now, can I tell you how important decisions are? You ought to make good decisions, right? Because some decisions are going to determine things for generations to come. Not just in your house and with your family, but in your children's homes and their families, in your grandchildren's homes and their families. In 1940, my mother and father wed. 1940. Neither of them was a Christian. They both joined the church when they were teenagers, joined different churches. My mother's from Louisiana, my father's from Western Alabama. They had joined the church when they were teenagers. But they both admitted they had no personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. When they married, they decided that they wanted to have a Christian home. Well, it's kind of hard to have a Christian home if you're not a Christian, right? And so they said, our first obligation is to give our heart, our soul, our lives, our home to the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they both trusted Christ, were baptized as believers, and set about to form a Christian home. Now, there was one decision. 1940. That's a long time ago, right? 1940. But because they made that decision and became Christians, I became a Christian. My brother and sister became Christians. Because I became a Christian, my children have become Christians. And so far as I know, are living for the Lord. Because my children are Christians, my grandchildren have decided for Jesus as well. And most of them, not all of them, a couple of them aren't, but most of them are living for the Lord. Now, do you see how that decision made in 1940 had a generational impact? It's still going on. It has impacted one generation in me, two generations of my kids, three generations in grandkids' lives. We have a fourth generation on the way now. All because my mom and dad made a decision for Jesus. As for us and our house, we will serve the Lord. They did that in 1940, and that decision is still bearing fruit. And so I always said to my students, and I'll say to you today, make wise decisions. Make good decisions. This is one. Make good decisions, because you never know when a decision you make will have generational impact. It will last for generations and influence generations in your family, for better or for worse. Make good decisions. And you can start by saying, man, by saying with Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I ask today that you would speak to us. God, stir our hearts deep inside. Don't let us go away unchanged. We don't want to just be stirred. We want to be moved and changed. And so, God, on this day, on this Father's Day, would you help those of us who are men, whether grown or married or fathers or not, help those of us in this congregation who are men to get our priorities straightened out and to realize that we need a vibrant, vital relationship with the Lord Jesus that we can only have if we determine that we're going to serve you. Now, Lord, if you've spoken directly to someone here today, and they need to make that decision, grant them courage, grant them the ability to step forward and say, I haven't really counted for the Lord as much as I want to. I haven't impacted my family as much as I'd like. But today, I want everybody to know, as for me and as best I can determine for my house, we will serve the Lord. Have your way in this time of invitation. This is my prayer and our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.